We didn't answer your question, and you cannot ask us another, to our regret. In the whole of Barleona, only the Patriarch is able to help you, but he is out of reach. We cannot touch the dead ones. Neither can they enter our world. It is time for you to go. We will transport you back without imposing penalties for your lengthy stay in the astral plane. A shaman is able to speak with us for no more than 3 minutes. After that, spirits stop responding to him for a long time. Remember this until our next meeting. When you decide to become a harbinger, you will find yourself in our presence once more. Until we meet again, Elemental One,
concluded the darkness. The sphere surrounding me began to spin, slowly at first, and then faster and faster, until finally, reaching a crazy speed, it blurred into continuous gray. There was a quiet clap, as if someone had shot a gun with a silencer attached, like in one of those antique films, and the sphere dissipated like a cloud of smoke, returning me to the Guardian's glade. The first thing I saw when I appeared were the surprised eyes of Ants in the Pansa. So, she's already back.
"The gusts of wind have brought us mist, our shaman hiding in its midst,"
Natalie greeted me with a rhyme and a chuckle.
"Judging by the visual effect, you've just had a meeting with the spirits of the higher and lower worlds. Only high shamans are able to do that, and only a couple of those exist in the entire continent. Are you sure you're just elemental?"
"Can all shamans appear out of the mist?"
Some other players decided to join our conversation.
"Stunning!
You haven't seen the arrival of a harbinger yet. When I saw her for the first time, I had to scrape my jaw off the floor. If you want the definition of stunningly beautiful, that is it."
"Guys, let's not mope around. It's time we knuckled down, but now you've started with all this shaman talk." I put a stop to all the chit-chat, showing a total lack of desire to continue the conversation and trying to get people into a working mood. "Anastaria and Do Not Punic, we convene to discuss plans in 5 minutes. Everyone else, get ready to step out into the forest. We have another fight ahead of us. Plinto! Where's Plinto? Not here yet? When he appears, send him to me straight away. We have to find out what it was he saw and what this ash is. Let's get to work." I didn't care how ridiculous an under level 100 player ordering about level plus 280 players might look. That's just how it was. We had to complete the clearing of the forest and find the Patriarch as soon as possible, so I could forget this bad dream. I couldn't exclude the deserters from doing the quest, but removing them from the group and leaving them to complete the quest by themselves? No, if we started together, we'd finish together. Let Iluna be their judge. But I had no intention of turning into Bat from Prike. Had all my additional stat slots not been taken, right now the system would have offered me the meanness stat, for sure. Like I needed it. By the looks of it, Elenium only got the current quest because he was in one group with me. If I kick him, I have no idea how he would complete it or hand it in. There's a risk that he wouldn't be accepted, and I wouldn't want to stitch him up, potentially. Although, if it's a scenario, what difference does it make to the High Priestess who completes it? The main thing was the result. In this, Hellfire was right. While I am at the center of attention, quests will keep falling into my lap. But as soon as I get sidelined, this flow of bonuses will stop.
"Mayan, would you permit me to have a chat with you?"
said Eckler graciously, in an almost fatherly tone.
"Anastaria, do join us. Put up a dome, please," he asked the girl as soon as she walked over.
"Well, As disagreeable as it is to admit it, a very delicate situation has arisen between our clans, which the both of us have to try to resolve.
You call poaching players in the middle of a quest a tricky situation? I chuckled. In that case, what would be a negative or an unpleasant situation? Killer, this was a stitch-up, pure and simple. This sort of stuff warrants a black eye, or two.
You are letting your emotions do the talking.
Eckler refused to be provoked and continued, firmly sticking to his agenda.
You must realize that if you found yourself in a similar situation, you would have acted in exactly the same manner. I'm quite sure of it. But let's not talk of what could have been. Let's return to the players that crossed over. I have to admit that they will have to remain in Phoenix. I doubt you'd take them back if I excluded them from the clan, and I don't want it to become known throughout Barleona that I am not a man who keeps his word.
Will you tell me what it is you want from me now, exactly? You already got your hands on pretty much everything you wanted. The Guardian's Quest, Illinium's Chain Quest, whatever that is, and also, I can already see that I've made a mistake in sharing the Patriarch Quest with Anastaria, especially in doing it for free and without limitations on sharing it with other players. I fell for this word called trust. These things happen. Hellfire has shown me exactly where I can take and shove this particular word. I get it already, and I'm done. What's with the current circus performance?
Emotions, Mayan. You're allowing yourself to be ruled by emotions. What Hellfire and Rastor did was in line with Phoenix policy, so their actions are understandable. But they didn't have all the information. For instance, they didn't know about the Patriarch and the Eye, and how our dearest Anastaria only supplied this information today, just as Hellfire was already making the transfer offer. Such offers are common practice for any clan, not just our one. As a side note, I only found out about all of this today, which is why this usually active young lady is staying very quiet now, and that I emphatically forbade her to pass on the quest to anyone else, until we settle this matter with you.
How nice. Killer, I'm really not with you on what exactly it is that you actually want. It's not like I can demand Phoenix not to accept anyone else from the Sea Thistle's clan. No one would ever join us if it meant that their way into Phoenix was permanently barred after that. Whichever way you look at it, you really are the best clan in Malabar. What can I say about the, now official, clan membership realignment? Only one thing. If fate once again smiles on me and I get hold of another quest, Phoenix will have no part of it. I'm sorry, but this is a necessary measure.
This is exactly why we are talking right now, to avoid any need for such measure. You are quite right. What's done is done. You are also right that an agreement between our clans would be the kiss of death to yours. I would like to offer you compensation. For example, you have no priests, so Elenium's quest is of little use to you. So I could offer you, temporarily of course, one or two priests who will complete this quest with your clan. That way, Sea Thistles will get the first kill.
And as soon as the quest is finished, these players will go back to Phoenix, taking any bonuses from their achievement with them. What's the point in getting the first kill if those who have it will end up back in Phoenix? Just to tick a box for clan status? I don't need it.
What do you want in that case? Money? Gear?
We can provide that, too. People, I already told you what I want, or rather, what I'm going to do. As soon as these quests are completed, the Sea Thistles clan will have no further dealings with Phoenix. You're a high flyer, all high and mighty. Good for you. We'll keep our feet firmly on the ground and do what we do best. Sit and wait for our prison sentences to end. If I've got you right, the gist of this conversation runs something like this. Sorry, Mayan. We have started to destroy your clan a bit too early. Jumped the gun and all that. But you should know that you're finished the moment it becomes convenient. Although, wait. Sorry hasn't even come into it. Dear Phoenix representatives, I am telling you again. Once we complete these two quests, we will go our separate ways, and our paths will never cross again.
I hear you. It's a pity that we've failed to find common ground on this. I propose that we postpone this conversation and return to it later. I can guarantee you that we will not approach Barsina, and if she contacts us herself, you will be informed. Anastaria will not share the Patriarch quest without first gaining your approval. Will you remove the players who crossed over from the groups for both quests?
What's the point? Just to show what a bastard I am? Let them stay.
All right. I have only one small point to clarify. If you aren't disbanding the group, I would like to compensate you for the participation of our new players in the current scenario. Their level barely exceeds 100, so I'm prepared to offer you 100,000 for the three of them. What do you say?
100 for three? That's not even funny. They might as well stay for free.
So, how much do you want?
130. I paused, watching the faces of both Phoenix players, baffled by such a paltry increase in the price, and then added, each.
All right. I'll send you the agreement in a minute. Then the matter of the transferred players can be considered settled, concluded Eckler. Now we must return to the matter of apologies. I have a feeling that words alone will be insufficient, so I thought of something else. Anastaria, what do you say?
Quasi-proton, I shrugged.
What do you mean, quasi-proton?
And what do you mean, Anastaria? For a while, Eckler looked at me somewhat perplexed, but then his face lit up in a smile, and the shadow leader of the Phoenix clan continued.
I understand. I didn't express myself very well. You see, Anastaria broke...
Killer, I insist that you tell Mayan the whole truth.
Anastaria spoke for the first time, interrupting the mage. I'd nearly forgotten she was with us.
The scenario with the punishment will look stupid now. I'm against it.
Eckler froze for a moment, chuckled, and then, apparently having come to a decision, looked at me cheerfully.
Well, well, Mayhen. Getting Anastaria to go against my decision. If you were my son, I would be proud of you. Good. Here's a confidentiality agreement. I'm sorry, but we can't do without it. There's just too much at stake.
As soon as I signed, agreeing that the information I was about to hear would not be passed on to third parties, Killer commenced with his explanation.
I apologize in advance for digressing into history, but you may struggle to understand everything without it. Forget everything I just told you. None of it has anything to do with the real state of things. Aside from the money, that you'll get in any case. So, the Phoenix clan was founded on the very day that Barleona was launched. You could say it's the oldest clan in the game. We've had our ups and downs, but by about 10 years in, we'd gathered the core group of players on whom I felt I could rely. I poured a huge, no, an insane amount of money into the game, being fortunate enough to be able to do so, set out the clan development strategy, and methodically began to weed out the competition. Alongside Phoenix, the Dark Legion began to emerge as our clear virtual enemy. After all, aside from the best clan in Malabar, there had to be a clan for all the players rejected by us to join. Otherwise, Phoenix would have been trampled underfoot a long time ago. But this way, everyone could enjoy watching our battles. Everlett steered things in the right direction, not allowing his players, like Plinto, to bring down our crafters freely, and focusing attention on fighters and recruits instead. This went on for a long time, until the corporation decided to unlock Cartus. Knowing that such opportunities couldn't be passed over, we flipped a coin to see which of our clans should move to Cartus. Everlett won. When you appeared, with your unique collection of reputations, Everlett chose you instead of one of my fighters, and is now sitting in Anhurs and quietly celebrating such a fortuitous turn of events. This is a brief overview of what's been happening in the past 10 years of the game.
Right, but what do you want with me in all of this?
Take it easy. Let the old man have his say. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity. Sooner or later, the rot creeps into any established organization. It becomes stilted, starts to suffer from complacency and an overinflated sense of its own unique place in the world. Around a year ago, Rick raised his crafting to 10 and fell into a state that can be easiest described as a superiority complex. Knowing full well how important he is to the clan, he started demanding various kinds of preferential treatment, which often breached the bounds of common sense. For example, did you know that Rick is one of only 3 Phoenix players who are able to declare war on behalf of the clan? Me, Anastaria, and him, a simple head of the Masters. Even Hellfire and Castle Keepers don't have such privileges.
So why don't you simply kick him out of the clan? I asked in surprise, struggling to grasp Phoenix Clan's internal problems.
Because a player who has gained 14 levels in crafting is very valuable for the clan in the financial sense. Items that he creates are a source of stable income, so kicking him out would deprive the clan of a golden goose. It would be foolish and wasteful.
In that case, you'll continue to have a malcontent in your clan who will keep laying down increasingly unreasonable conditions all the time. You'll just have to deal with it.
This is why I decided to make a knight's move. Who is Anastaria? She's not just a name. She's an entire brand now. She is so closely identified with Phoenix that everyone takes it for granted that whatever she does, I would never kick her out, because this would cause great damage to the clan. This is exactly why I started to hatch a plan to make an example of Anastaria by publicly throwing her out of Phoenix.
What?
Don't look so surprised. Yes, I intend to solemnly and dramatically remove Anastaria from the clan, to make it clear that no one is irreplaceable. Under my close supervision for several months now, She's been committing all kinds of terrible, outrageous acts within the clan. She doesn't submit reports, periodically leaves the clan, fails to inform anyone of what she's up to, provokes arguments, and uses clan resources for her personal ends. And everyone just accepts it, because she's the leader. Everyone sees the clan rules being brazenly flouted, but does their best to turn a blind eye. Today's situation was simply a boon to us in view of all this. I'm sorry, but your players did approach us of their own accord, and because Raster is the one who deals with admitting people into the clan, I found out that Elenium had passed all our tests and had already been offered a place only after the fact. Hellfire outdid himself. It seems that he's taken a dislike to you, and quite a big one at that. However, as sad as it is, the transfer of your players to Phoenix made a good trigger for putting my plan into action. Anastaria raised hell, called everyone, including myself, idiots, self-absorbed morons, and other equally endearing names, and demanded that the agreements with the three new players be torn up. She threatened to leave the clan if her conditions were not met. No one in Barleona, except Evelyn, and now you, knows about our close cooperation. The clan is currently awaiting my reaction to Hellfire's actions, which go against the spirit of cooperative questing, and to see how I handle the situation with Anastaria. After all, everyone now automatically associates Anastaria with the word Phoenix. This is why she'll be kicked out of the clan today.
A neat series of moves. What can I say? I concluded when Eckler paused. And there was me, trying to figure out what Anastaria joining my clan was all about. Makes sense now. But, Killer, your plan resulted in three people leaving my clan. Three people with whom I ran around the game for 2 years.
Look at it this way, Anastaria intervened for the second time during this meeting. We did not try to lure them over. They switched to Phoenix of their own accord, at the first opportunity. I don't want to say anything bad about your friends, but think about this yourself, Mayan. What would have happened if they'd left you 6 months later, for instance, after becoming an integral part of your clan in many ways? It could be just guesswork, but the risk that they would have ditched you in any case is very high.
Yes, I can see that, but fine. The matter with those three is now settled. They'll stay with you in any case. However, tell me why I am being told of the Phoenix clan's internal problems right now.
I need your help. I really do. At first, we simply planned to cut Anastaria loose and make her wander about Malabar listless and disgruntled. But after today's developments, I quickly thought of another plan. In order to make up for this misunderstanding, I thought of loaning Anastaria to you. Let's say for 3 months. This would be good both for her and for your clan.
And how did you intend to pull that off? I couldn't help asking.
That's simple. I was going to tell you how Anastaria started breaking the clan rules, that she had become uncontrollable, then summon the Guardian and officially exclude Anastaria from Phoenix. To be honest, my plan was based on a 90% probability that you would have invited Anastaria to join your clan. She would have spent 2 or 3 months with you until just before the big clan competition, and then resumed her place in Phoenix. It would have made for a magnificently choreographed move, falling completely within the logic of her hysterics earlier today. But now that thanks to her you know everything, since we've put our cards on the table,
You have my sincere request that you accept Anastaria into your clan. The advantages for the clan are quite clear. I don't think I need to go through them, since you've seen them all for yourself. The downsides, there are more than enough of those, too. Firstly, Hellfire and Rick will develop considerable dislike both for you and for Sea Thistles, exacerbated by the fact that Anastaria ended up in these unfortunate circumstances on your account. They will stop creating problems in the clan and will start looking for a way to get even with you instead. Secondly, there's the reaction of the rest of Malabar. As I already mentioned, Anastaria is a brand, and everyone's gotten used to associating her with Phoenix. So, Sea Thistles, a first-level clan, won't have an easy time of it. Anastaria's fans will start trying to get into your clan and threaten you if you refuse to take them in. Thirdly, Eckler fell silent, as if struggling to find the right words to express his main point, so I beat him to it. Thirdly, Anastaria will not be just an ordinary member in my clan, but a representative of Phoenix, even if she's not officially its member. A spy, level... can't even think of a good comparison. A supersonic jet among crop dusters. And you're suggesting I forget everything that's happened before? Like the siren poison that was used against me. You still expect me to welcome this girl with open arms? A very lucrative proposal, especially after three of my fighters went and joined your clan. This is why I thought that we should tell you the whole truth and not try to outmaneuver you once again, replied Stacy. This really is no joking matter now. Phoenix could be facing a split, and we can't let that happen. At the least, not until the Intercontinental Clan competition. The only way to preserve the clan now is to make a sacrifice. I'm ready to be that sacrifice. But if I were excluded now, I would automatically be excluded from all scenarios. As soon as we finish with the Guardian and meet the Patriarch, the clan leaders will take charge of the scenarios and freestanding players will be left out in the cold. I really don't want to miss out on this, because for me this is important. I want to find out what it is the developers have come up with, what possible workarounds they've included. Of all the clans present here, only Sea Thistles and Azure Dragons would be able to accept me without raising suspicions with Rick and his team. But the Dragons have Do Not Punic, who would be certain to draft an agreement in a way that would force me to stay in that clan for 5 years at the least. So, I'm the fool that can be suckered into doing this, taken for a 3-month ride, and then dumped when appropriate? I grinned. I mean, it's not like I'm Do Not Punic, who knows how to draft agreements properly.
Mayan, you're free to take whatever decision you want, but I'm asking you to please help us. To help me. I would get kicked out in any case, but losing the scenario?
All right. Let's suppose, mind, that I take you into Sea Thistles. Since we're talking openly now, I would like to share an interesting piece of information with you. It's about to become public knowledge anyway. When are you planning to get kicked out?
Today.
Great. Then listen. I went into the quest description and looked at the date I received the quest from the Emperor. 3 days and 2 hours, a certain individual known as the Emperor of Malabar will appeal to all +200 level heroes, saying that he is in dire need of help, the poor old thing. Moreover, he will also issue a similar summons for craftsmen with level 100 and above in a profession. This is a continent-wide scenario, not a normal one, like the Guardian and the High Priestess quests. The Emperor will also announce that any player can take part, including those previously banished. They will be granted a pardon, I suppose.
Just to prove I'm not making it up, here's the quest description that I was given. I sent Anastaria the text and watched for any change in her emotions. And now, a question for the experts. Who would have the ability to complete this quest, but with the words find and bring, instead of craft, in it?
Damn it!
Said Anastaria, and descended into a censor-worthy cursing spree.
Are you sure that the information about what will occur in 3 days is correct?
Killer asked me, ignoring the enraged girl. Yes, the Emperor really will issue this summons, so we have to wrap things up here as soon as possible. The sooner we finish with the Guardian, the sooner we can start looking for the Holy Relic.
You do realize, Beckler addressed the girl, that if Phoenix completes this quest without you, no one would ever suspect our bluff now. Everyone knows how mad you are for all things unique.
Killer, there's no way I can miss this!
Stacy was almost shouting.
This thing is continent-wide, not locked to a particular class. You can then use it to get...
Anastaria, the mage sternly interrupted her. Time to decide. Either you leave and Phoenix does the quest without you, showing everyone that the threat of punishment is real, or we scrap all our plans and forget what we've been trying to do for the last 4 months. From what I can see, Rick should get the quest for creating the Holy Relic. He wouldn't be able to complete it outside the clan, so he'll be facing a clear choice. Either he follows in your footsteps, or falls in line, signs a new agreement, seriously curtailing his rights, and continues crafting for the good of the clan. Hellfire will focus on you and going after Mayhen. Stacy, decision time.
Damn it all to hell,
the girl continued to curse.
Killer, you can't force someone to choose between duty and passion. That isn't fair.
Guys, maybe you'll stop arguing and explain to me, I interrupted the bickering players. Why in hell should I accept Anastaria into my clan, only to become a target for her fans and Hellfire? Nice future to look forward to. A dream come true, for sure. No first-kill bonuses can compensate for being constantly kept at the respawn point.
I do have something that can persuade you to cooperate, assured the mage. Now I know for sure that you are the creator of the Commandant chess pieces. You have already solved the first riddle, and right now we are ready to give you the answer to the second. It's already been deciphered. We are prepared to help you with other riddles as well, but that's beside the point right now. The important part is that you will get a description of what the chess set is, what it's used for, and what limitations and special features it has. There is a special scroll with all this information at the Emperor's Palace, and I'm prepared to obtain it for you.
Some reward that is. I happen to have respect with the Emperor. When I reach esteem, I'll be able to read this scroll myself.
That's all very well, if not for one little detail. There is only one version of this scroll. No copies can be made of it, and currently it happens to be in the firm grip of a certain assassin's green paws. Even if you were at exalted and a 100 in attractiveness, you'd still never see it. I can make sure this scroll ends up in your hands. I call the Emperor as my witness that I'm telling you the truth about the scroll.
So, that's how it is. But what has attractiveness got to do with this?
Our reputation with the Emperor and other elite entities simply opens certain doors to us. But attractiveness is the key to quests,
answered the girl, who had run out of curses for the time being.
For example, I have exalted reputation, but zero attractiveness with the current emperor, so I would never be given any unique quests, not a single one.
It was now clear why Tisha and the High Priestess sent me on these missions. They simply liked me as a... To put it plainly, they just liked me.
Stacy, what have you decided?
It's not like I really have a choice, is it?
Growled the girl.
It's clear as day that this is an ideal situation. The clan will be subdued so we can ride this wave and redraft Rick's agreement. But, damn it! A continental scenario!
Mayan, it's up to you now. Do you agree to take Anastaria into your clan in exchange for receiving the Emperor's scroll with the description of the Commandant chess set in 3 months' time?
Yes. It looks like I don't have much choice in the matter either. You've really got me cornered.
Agreed. Anastaria can be one of my minions for 3 months.
Got any preferred position? I asked the girl slyly.
Of course. Only the deputy, only hardcore, she replied in the same tone.
Then quit, and I'll accept you.
It's not quite so simple, Eckler intervened with more good news. Now, when the decision has been made, we need to put on a show for the clan and other players. We'll do most of the acting, but right now you need to leave the dome looking angry, grumbling, and bad-mouthing me quite thoroughly. Something along the lines of, Phoenix have gone completely crazy and want to buy up my entire clan. Stacy will kick up a storm, as she has done on plenty of occasions, so it won't really surprise anyone. And then it will be my move. Everyone got it? Then let's do it.
My role turned out to be simple enough. I entered the dome looking angry and left it just as angry. All good. After asking the others once again about Plinto, who still hadn't returned, I called over Anastaria and Do Not Punic and told them that our strategy meeting would have to be postponed until the rogue gets back. As soon as I stopped talking, the girl began typing something into the clan chat, and Eckler, who was sitting not far off, periodically shouted,
"What are you doing? Stop that immediately! That's it! My patience has reached its limit!"
the mage shouted after some time. Plinto still hadn't reappeared. His respawn timer probably had 1 or 2 hours left to go, so there was no need to hurry. This gave Anastaria and Killer time to have more fun with their performance.
"Guardian, I require your assistance."
"You called me and I came. If your summons was a false one, you will be punished."
The glade vibrated.
"Agreed. Guardian, I ask you to confirm my decision."
Eckler addressed the oak.
"With the power bestowed in me by the agreement of the Phoenix Clan, I remove Anastaria from the clan for breaching the clan agreement. All her clan leader responsibilities will be assumed by me. From this moment on, Anastaria has nothing to do with the Phoenix Clan. I ask that all the interested parties are informed of this, including the Emperor, the Thracinians, and the Lords of the Air."
"Accepted."
The tree's vibrations went through the glade, which had now descended into silence.
"All the free citizens and faction leaders have been informed, and agreements with Anastaria have been transferred to Eckler."
"Attention, residents of Malabar. For breaching the clan agreement, free citizen Anastaria has been excluded from the Phoenix Clan. All Anastaria's responsibilities as head of the clan have been transferred to Eckler."
The sign of the flaming bird above the girl's face faded, and she looked up at me with eyes full of tears. What an actress! She even managed to tear up.
"Killer, you can't!" she shouted.
"I can, and I did. Enough is enough!"
"In that case, I'll..."
"Man!" Anastaria shouted in my direction.
"I ask you to accept me into Sea Thistles. You were stripped of 3 players, so I offer myself as compensation."
"What?"
"I'll repeat for those who are slow on the uptake. I'm asking you to take me into your clan."
"Anastaria, I tried to look completely bewildered by such a crazy request from the best girl in Malabar.
"Ekeler, talk some sense into her.
I've had enough of Killer and his ilk. Either you invite me, or I'll go elsewhere. Do not panic, we'll be happy."
"Fine, but I should warn you right away that there's no democracy in my clan, just the harsh totalitarian system headed by a tyrant. That is, yours truly. If you're prepared to sign an agreement that you will remain in my clan for at least 3 months, I'll take you in," I replied.
"Deal. Send me the agreement."
"Stacy," Ekeler intervened, "do you understand that there'll be no way back after this?"
"I don't give a damn about your threats. It won't take a week for Phoenix to go stale without me."
I had little desire to land a bigger part in this performance, so under the shocked gazes of other players, I selected Anastaria and sent her the invitation to my clan.
"Player Anastaria has joined the Sea Thistles clan. Rank, deputy head of the clan. Due to the presence of players that earned the first kill of the Bloody Scythe dungeon, the Sea Thistles clan gains..."
"Holy shit!" Itamzalat, the head of the heirs of the Titans, exhaled next to me, a camera pictogram flashing above his head. Looks like the banishment scene had been caught on tape.
"Back in a couple of minutes," he said, after which his gaming avatar became transparent and disappeared. He probably went off to upload the video.
Chapter 8. The Patriarch.
"If there's one thing I don't get, it's why you took that bitch in," summed up Plinto as soon as he appeared in the glade and was told the news.
"What's your problem with her?"
"I have enough problems with the flaming chickens for a year's worth of respawns, and for this lady, I'll make that 3. If you hadn't initially included the condition that you couldn't waste other players, I would have rubbed her out ages ago. And you too. My hands are still itching to do just that."
"Then why the heck did you help me in Anhurs?"
"Because I didn't want to give those bastards the pleasure. You'll become my personal punching bag as soon as this quest is over. The pawn of number 2s. Get ready for a meeting with a herald. No one else would be able to get you out of that one."
"Sure thing. I'm already shaking in my boots and looking for a place to hide. Before you start thinking up a more effective way to bump me off, tell me what you saw. What this ash is, and how's it made? And, by the way, have you ever considered that in chess a pawn is a rather formidable figure? Especially after it takes 6 moves forward." Plinto mumbled, "Mm-hmm," and froze for a few moments, probably thinking over my words.
"Quit messing with my head," he said, finally reaching a conclusion. "The eastern side where I went was completely stuffed with..."
"Hold on, let me call my advisors first," I interrupted Plinto. "I'll have to tell them everything anyway, so they may as well ask you all the right questions. Anastaria, do not panic. Come over."
"I'm not talking to that bitch,"
Plinto almost hissed.
Mayan, I'm grateful to you for access to the scenario. I had no money for the ticket and all, but dealing with her...
Listen, cut the drama crap, eh? That's the last thing we need now. It's bad enough trying to think about what Hellfire and Company will do to me for taking Anastaria into the clan. Now you go ballistic every time her name is mentioned. Why don't you show me how to get them off my back instead of brandishing your trigger-happy side?
Are you trying to recruit me or something?
Call it as you see it. Right, people have started turning up, so let's save this chat for another time. Think about what I said, though. I'm in dire need of protection from Phoenix, and no one would handle that better than you. If you have a bone to pick with that clan, let's use it to our mutual advantage. Anyway, we'll talk later.
I see you've been chatting with our bad boy, Anastaria couldn't help quipping as soon as she came over. But I should say that he surprised me. Writing down the words back and ash correctly and without resorting to spell check? Even I could have barely managed that. Did you practice in advance or something?
Anastaria, I interrupted the girl. I'm asking you, as your boss, not to aggro Plinto while we're completing this scenario. At the end of the day, he's the only one who has managed to gather any kind of useful information. The 3 10-strong raid groups, the 20-strong support group, and the specially trained scouts screwed up most spectacularly. And that goes for you, too. While one bad boy, as you put it, could have saved you all if you hadn't wandered off quite so far. Don't you think you're being more than a bit unfair?
Do you need him?
A message popped up in the inter-clan chat almost immediately. It was just as well that the 12 hours hadn't elapsed since the battle, so none of my fighters were present yet. This way, the chat had ended up being private. But how could she write in such a completely surreptitious manner? I barely nodded in answer to her question and then continued. Now that we understand each other, I suggest we begin. Plinto, please tell us what happened on the eastern side and how you were not detected. Flashing an angry stare at Anastaria, the rogue began his report.
I'll begin by explaining what ash is. Everyone here knows what it is, except you, by the way. In all the most recent dungeons, the developers have tended to use a new type of spell called Ash Tempest.
Not in all, but just the last 4. It's as if they're preparing us for something, put in Anastaria. She behaves rather strangely when Plinto is around. I must speak to her about this later today. Why do they keep fighting like cat and dog for no apparent reason?
Do you want to do the talking? Snapped Plinto.
Maybe I do. This ash, as raiders have dubbed it, is a very unpleasant spell. Unlike Armageddon, it cannot destroy gear, but there's no way of evading it except with a bubble. This is why all the latest raids need so many paladins and priests for resurrecting fallen players. By the way, resurrection from ash, into which your gaming avatar disintegrates, looks very beautiful. It comes together, forming a thin film, and then your body starts to take shape as if it were rising out of the surface of water, covered by a fine silk sheet.
Women,
Plinto spat for emphasis, showing that only a girl would start enjoying special effects in the middle of a fight.
The Ash Tempest can only be used once per dungeon and burns up enormous amounts of mob mana, so the main task is to survive the blast with at least one priest alive. I followed the same tactic here, put a bubble over myself, but failed to take the special characteristics of the Dark Forest and the scenario into account.
It says that the first attack in the wrong direction would result in failure and that no players would survive even in a bubble. The curse was cast on me 2 seconds after the ash, which means that the imitator outdid itself in getting around that defense. That's how I became cursed Anastaria.
That's what you were to begin with. No use pretending.
Plinto wasn't about to miss this opportunity for a jibe, which finally made me lose patience with their back and forth.
Plinto, Anastaria, one more dig from either direction while we're completing this scenario, and I'll quit being so reasonable. I've had enough of you. You're acting like a pair of little kids.
And you've never seen them going at each other in Anhurs,
grinned Do Not Punic.
The whole of Malabar has been laughing at these two. Not that they care.
Like I give a fig about all that.
Plinto, as head of the Sea Thistles clan, I'm inviting you to join me as a fighter.
What? Be in the same clan as this?
The rogue began, but I interrupted him. No, to be in the same clan as me. Phoenix will declare open season on me because of Anastaria coming over, and I need protection. While in the clan, you'll be receiving a salary, calculated in the standard way. 30% of the entire income of the clan, divided among the members depending on the rank and contribution to the clan. I'm also prepared to negotiate the sum that you'll be paid for preventing attempts on my life made by Phoenix members. Anyone else wouldn't bother if they see you around, but Phoenix, on the other hand, would get even more aggro. Do you remember what I said about the moves? You made 2 moves forward when you left Legion. Anhurs was another move, and the next would be agreeing to join. You have just 2 squares left. This is one of them.
I have a condition, said Plinto thoughtfully after some time. I will have to take the opportunity to send you for respawn at least 2x. You owe me, and I won't rest until I do this.
Agreed. As soon as we finish with the Dark Forest, you will have such a chance. Anything else?
Anastaria.
Wow, he actually used her name.
What rank does she have?
She's the deputy.
I will answer directly to the head and no one else. Neither the deputy nor the officers will have any authority over me.
All right. This will be included in the agreement. Anything else?
5 million gold, right now, for personal use.
Plinto blurted out after a pause, all the while looking at Anastaria for some reason. And what would that be for? I was beginning to lose track of what was going on here, because at this point, Anastaria lowered her gaze.
No! 1,000 times no!
The clan chat exploded with the girl's screams.
Just a personal whim,
was Plinto's short answer, and I suddenly understood where this money was going. It would go to the girl. But for what? I accept. As the head of the clan, I guarantee you 5 million gold for joining Sea Thistles. However, in that case, I have some conditions too. You will spend at least 1 year in the clan, or until I personally exclude you, and you will accept the clan rules.
Agreed.
A smile spread across the face of the usually serious rogue.
Guardian, I ask you to witness our agreement on my joining the clan before we sign it,
shouted Plinto.
The conditions have been recorded,
the glade immediately declared with its vibrations.
Then send me the invite, concluded Plinto. I'm prepared to join the Sea Thistles under the agreed conditions and will diligently carry out all responsibilities this lays on me.
Mayan, thanks a lot. What can I say? Player Plinto the Bloodied has joined the Sea Thistles clan. Rank, Fighter. Due to the presence of players that earned the first kill of the Silver Scream dungeon, all Sea Thistles clan members gain +2 to attractiveness with all Malabar NPCs.
This was followed by another list of bonuses for the clan, but this one only had 7 items on it, compared to Anastaria's 20-something. So it looks like Dark Legion did complete some things before Phoenix after all. I started to look through the achievements that I got via Plinto, so I didn't immediately notice how the Guardian's branches began to grow around my soul, for the moment, Fighter, and around my, likewise, only deputy. I don't get it. What's going on here?
Plinto the Bloodied, roared the oak. According to the agreement, you must pay a monetary reward worth 5,400,000 gold to Free Citizen Anastaria. Anastaria, according to the agreement, once this amount is paid to you, you are obliged to hand over the final part of the Phoenix Reigns.
I'm ready to transfer the money, said Plinto immediately. Please take it off my account, and the remainder from the account of the Sea Thistles clan, according to the conditions under which I was accepted into the clan.
Mayen, thundered the Guardian, I ask you to give the final confirmation of the conditions of accepting Plinto the Bloodied into the clan.
Confirmed. 5 million is a huge amount, and it would take me forever to explain myself to the others, so I'll have to find out what I owe and to whom. And, most importantly, why?
Anastaria, Plinto has fulfilled the conditions for acquiring the final part of the Phoenix Reigns. Are you going to hand them over?
They're in my personal room, said the girl, discomposedly. I give my permission for them to be taken and hand it over to Plinto.
The agreement has been fulfilled and is considered closed,
concluded the Guardian, and descended into deep thought once again.
You know, Nick, I'll bury you for this, said Anastaria after some time. I'll even complain to your wife that you've upset me. She'll have your head.
Stacy, then you should have thought twice before making the bet. I did say from the start that I'd get my hands on them sooner or later. Now my Flamewing will be the fastest in all Barleona. This year, I'll finally get the prize. The game's on.
Are you done yet?
I interrupted this fascinating conversation. I'll find out later what this is all about. Right now, with Do Not Punic giving us a rather cryptic look, it was time to get back to work. Plinto, do continue. I get the deal with the Ash. What happened on the eastern side?
Yes, added Do Not Punic. You can also tell us how you managed to get through where other scouts were discovered.
Who are you calling scouts, exactly? Lantirius and Fogger? Their arms should be ripped off and sewn onto their asses, which they've been using for thinking anyway. You think I didn't see how they were discovered? Any dumbass would have realized that mist, which covers every part of the ground, must conceal lots of alarm traps. Why the heck did they go on the ground? Are they so low on agility they couldn't use the trees? Hopeless idiots.
Let's not get distracted, I told my fighter.
In short, it's simple. We were toast in any case.
There were three barricades to the east. First came level 100 to 150 vampires. I counted 40, but I might have been wrong. They kept moving all over the place, and my line of sight radius wasn't very big. It was